Okay, good morning. Well done. Congratulations for making it this morning. You overcame the lost hour. My name's Nigel. If you haven't met, you can please come and introduce yourself afterwards. We'll be here. A couple of announcements. We've announced this already, but I think it's worthwhile. March the 24th is rapidly approaching. That is a Thursday evening. The Thursday evening before Easter, everybody has Friday off. So we're using that Thursday evening for a kids' night. Alive, people have been working very hard to prepare an excellent program for kids, children age up to grade 6. So if you have children, you know children, or have friends, family, colleagues who have children, please encourage them to come. There are cards, which I hope we can distribute afterwards, for you to give to others to remind them also. If I forget at the end, there is a prayer room right back here, right back in that corner by the stairs. If you want personal prayer, anybody to pray with you, you know, about something, you have some difficulty or something you want to pray for, and you like to bring some people in to pray together, it's right back here after this time. So if you just scoot out the door around the corner, there'll be people there willing, brothers and sisters willing to pray with you, for you, and with you. Okay. We've been going through Exodus. I hope you've enjoyed this. I have. I must say, you know, as we've gotten into this, I have seen things that I have never seen before and seen things in a clearer way. And that is what is supposed to happen. You know, God's word is living. That's what the Bible says about itself. The word of God is living and operative. You know, it's not like reading the dictionary. It's you're reading the Bible. It's the word of God, the living word. God's living word to us. It's God speaking to us. And we have the Holy Spirit who can help us. So this word should affect us. We should see new things from the Bible. And I hope we're doing that week by week and during the week as we get into it. We should see new things, have new realizations from God, from the Lord, about him, about us, our relationship, and that should change us. You know, it's not just information, it's for transformation. When Moses, we got to the part, Moses is up Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. If you recall, read Exodus 34. When Moses had received the Ten Commandments, he spent time with God. When he came down the mountain, his face shone. He was radiant. He was glow in the dark. And it wasn't radiation. He had been with God, right? And God, caused something to change in him. Of course, with him, it was outward. The skin on his face shone. And Paul uses that, right? That's Old Testament. But in principle, the same thing should happen to us. Whenever the heart turns to the Lord, 2 Corinthians 3, when the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And the Lord today is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, liberty. And we can behold God. And we can be transformed. Not, you know, it's not a sunburn. We can be changed from the inside out, right? And that can affect us, affect our living, affect our relationship. And that's what God wants. So, yes, we're in the Old Testament. We're in Ten Commandments, you know, but let's look at it from our point of view and apply it to us. All right? Okay, so the Ten Commandments were meant to reveal God, show people who their God was. They could respond to him and he could change them, right? So let's, without further ado, let me go into the verses. Okay, we're in chapter 20. We're going to read again the first part of the Ten Commandments, the part related to God, our relationship with God. Our title is Right Relationship with Yahweh. Yahweh is the personal name of God, right? Translated Lord in regular English Bibles, capital L, all caps, Lord. shows you behind that is Yahweh in the Hebrew. Okay, Exodus 20, verse 1. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God. I'm Yahweh your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. That's introduction, right? You shall have no other gods before me or beside me. You shall not make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth, not in heaven, the sky, not in the earth, not fish in the sea or anything. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, in a good way, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of generations to those who love me and keep my commandments. Okay? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Honor the Lord's name. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you should labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. Okay, so those are the first four commandments. Ten commandments. We were introduced to them last week. The first section, first four, are related to God. The last six are related to our relationships with one another. Don't murder, don't steal, etc. Related to our relationship to one and to people, right? So we're dwelling this morning on the first part, our relationship with God. And Dell indicated, you know, that's behind the Ten Commandments, there are principles which Old Testament and New Testament bring out. If we keep those principles, two principles, for sure we'll keep the Ten Commandments. Number one, related to God, Deuteronomy tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, right? Love the Lord your God. If you love the Lord your God, you will honor him. You won't have other gods. You won't have images. You will keep his name, right? And you will worship him in the way he desires. Secondly, second part, and Leviticus says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't kill, steal, lie, etc. So those are the principles behind the Ten Commandments that Jesus brought out, and they're there in the Old Testament. Okay, so we're coming to the first part related to God. All right. I am, right? If we back up, it says, right? God spoke these words. Okay, verse 2. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord. I am your God. I am the Lord. The Lord translates Yahweh. I'm Yahweh, your God, right? That's what God is telling his people. I'm your God, right? You know, and so on. That leads into the Ten Commandments. These are not rules. You know, sometimes we think, oh, God gave rules for us to keep. If we keep these rules, we're okay. If we don't, we're in trouble. It's not. No, that's too superficial. What it is chapter 19, it's God entering a covenant relationship with his people. And in the Bible also, marriage is a covenant relationship. You can go with that parallel. In chapter 19, God asked Israel, his people, will you be my people? Will you enter into a relationship with me? They all responded, yes, we will. That's the bride saying, the girl saying, I do. Will you marry me? Yes. Okay. Then from there we can go on, right? If she says no, it's all over. Right? End of story. Right? You end with chapter 19. Israel said yes. Okay, then the story continues, right? Okay, when she said yes, eventually you get to the wedding, right? That, so it's not, you know, it's not rules. Don't think, we shouldn't just think about rules to be kept. Listen, it, you know, you ask, you know, 40 years ago. Sorry, my wife's getting embarrassed. We've been married for 39 years. I know some are ahead of us. 40 odd years ago, you know, did I go down on my knee? I don't think so. No. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm making up for it now. I said, Shirley, will you marry me? She said, yes. Woo! All right. You know, okay, then you can talk from there, right? You say, okay, then look, it's simple. Okay, that means what? I'm committed to you. You're committed to me. Okay, then it's simple. Look, from now on, you know, think about today. People have boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever. Then you say, okay, but now you said, yes, I will. Okay, then simple. No other boyfriends. And she would tell, no other girlfriends. We're committed to other. It, you know, if you say, well, I still want a date here and there. I'm sorry, you're not ready. You're not ready. Forget about it. You better put a hold on it. Right? If there's commitment to one another, then that commitment is, okay, you're the one. You're the one on both sides. Okay, then God, that's what God is saying to his people. I am your God, Israel. I am your God. I did this for you. I did that for you. I am your God. I want you to be committed to me, right? I'm already committed to you. Okay, respond. Have that kind of commitment. Then, okay, you know, you got pictures of your boyfriends, girlfriends on the fridge, on the bedroom. Okay, no. Okay, they got to go. Number one, no more boyfriends, girlfriends, no dating other people. Number two, okay, get rid of those pictures of your old boyfriends, girlfriends, right? Yeah, get rid of their phone number, erase their emails, it's over. I'm the one. Woo! All right? Okay, that's what this is. Okay, then, okay. You're going to be my wife. I'm going to be your husband. You know, my name's Nigel. I'm not just any Tom, Dick, or Harry. You know, Harry, no, wrong. Right? You got it. The name is special, right? Okay, so that's what the commandments are, right? It's a commitment to one another to be in relationship so God can bless them. They can be blessed by God. All right. That's it. We're entering relationship. Okay. So these are the commandments. Okay. Let's go. We can go through. Okay. So commandment number one, don't have any other gods besides me in addition to me. Right? That's what God's saying. Don't have other gods besides me, in addition to me, right? I'm the one. I'm the one. For you, I'm your God. You're my people. Okay? So Israel, don't have other gods. Right? Right? This is what? This is monotheism. Monotheism. Right? Right? That mono, one. Right? Monocle, monocycle. Right? Theos, God. Only one God, Israel, think about it. And historically, you know, at that time, every nation had many gods, the surrounding nations. They had a God of the fire, God of the water, God of the mountain, God of the valley, God of the trees, God of the storm, God of the hills, God of the whatever. You have all kind of gods. Look, you know, and still today in some places, you know, you can choose your God. You want a God with it looks like a woman with an elephant nose? You want a God who has 8, 10 arms? There, some places have many gods. Other people have many gods. And back then, the Greeks, right? They had Zeus, etc. God of this, God of that, God of the other. Cities had their gods. It was common to have many gods, and people could become gods. You're a hero, you got promoted, you could become a god. The emperors wanted to be God. Augustus, who's mentioned in the Bible around the birth of Jesus, Augustus Caesar was the first one who decreed, after I'm gone, I want to be declared to be a god by the Roman Empire. And, the Roman Empire started making the Caesars gods. They had many gods already, and we just add more. Caesar Augustus, Julius Caesar, etc., etc. Many gods. But for Israel, God said, no, you don't have many gods. There's only one God. I, Yahweh, I am your God. Right? So that was one thing separated Israel from all the surrounding nations. Right? Other nations had many gods. Israel, no, one God. Other nations could worship this and that. Israel, no. Other nations had images, idols, representations. Israel, no. We worship one God, right? Monotheism. You know, whether other gods may exist or not, think about, you know, angels, demons. Yes, there may be spiritual powers, demons, small g gods, etc., angels, whatever. God says, I am your God, capital G, not small g. I am the one and only God, capital G, the God. The others, whatever. So God wants to be the only God exclusively. Number two, God wants exclusive worship from his people. Worship me, don't worship other gods. I alone am your God, so don't make an image. Don't misuse. So number one, don't have other gods. Number two, don't make an image. Image, idol, representation, statue, picture, whatever, of your gods. No, that's not the real God. Number three, don't misuse the name of the Lord your God. God has a name. He has a personal name. His name is Yahweh. Exodus chapter 3 and 6, Yahweh is his name. Honor his name, right? Don't take his name in vain. We went through that. His name represents who he is, you know, and behind it is his character. I'm God. This is the way I am. And later God mentions to Moses, right? It says in a later chapter 34, it says, the Lord came down in a cloud and stood with Moses there, and the Lord proclaimed his name, Yahweh, to Moses. Right? The Lord passed in front of Moses and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in faithful love and truth, maintaining faithful love to a thousand generations, forgiving wrongdoing, rebellion, and sin. God told him, okay, this is me. What is my name? My name represents the sum total of who I am, my character. I'm gracious. I'm merciful. I'm forgiving. I'm long-suffering. I'm patient. I'm kind. This is the kind of God I am. So the name represents this person. Fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The first few commandments relate to God himself. The fourth commandment relates to how to worship God, right? Then the following commandments relate to how to relate to each other. They're moral, ethical. Fourth commandment is not directly related to God's person. Neither is it directly related to morality, ethics. It is related to how to worship God. Remember the Sabbath day. So in the Old Testament, God told them how he wanted to be worshipped. He the Sabbath day, that's Saturday, Friday night, starts at dusk. Friday night goes to dusk Saturday. Friday nighttime, Saturday daytime, that is the Jewish Sabbath. The Sabbath, and God told them the festivals, Passover, Feast of Harvest, Feast of Weeks, etc. God told them how to worship him with sacrifices in the tabernacle, in the temple. So God told Israel in the Old Testament how he wanted to worship him, how he wanted them to worship him, Israel. Okay. Now, in the New Testament, this is one change. You say, do the Ten Commandments carry over? You got to ask yourself, does the New Testament repeat them? Does the New Testament reinforce them? The answer is 9 out of 10, yes. However, when the matter of worship, it doesn't carry over because worship is not directly related to God personally, neither is it related to morality, ethics, interpersonal relationships. It's how God wants to be worshiped. At that time, Old Testament, God wanted to be worshiped a certain way. When, right? Eventually in the tabernacle, the temple with the sacrifices on the Sabbath day with the festivals, come to Jerusalem. Okay. And how to do it? How many days in what way? Okay. When Jesus came, he changed the way of worship. And this is important. Somebody asked him, John chapter 4, a woman asked him, a Samaritan woman asked Jesus. She said, we Samaritans, next door neighbors to Israel, we worship in this mountain. You Jews worship in Jerusalem. Where should we worship? Jesus answered, important answer. Jesus said, neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. An hour is coming. I think 4:24, John. An hour is coming, and it is now, when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and truth. God is spirit. We have to worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus changed the way of worship. Amen? Right? Which is good. Right? Most of the religions on the earth have a physical place, have a physical center. You must go. If you're a Muslim in Islam, you must go to Mecca at least once in your lifetime. Go to Mecca in Saudi Arabia. If you're, you belong to this other Hindu religions, Indian religions have their rivers, have their places. If you're Sikh, you have to go to the Golden Temple, etc., etc. Christians are different. If you're Jewish today, still, if they could, they would have a temple in Jerusalem. So Islam, Mecca, Judaism, Jerusalem. Christians, we don't have a physical place. Why? Because Jesus said, God is spirit. And those who worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. Amen? What's the place? Spirit, right? Contact God. God is spirit. God's not physical. God's not confined to a physical place. So we worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen? Amen. All right. So I hope we're clear on the fourth commandment. Some people stumble. Do we have to keep the Sabbath, etc.? Well, let me ask you, do we keep the Sabbath? Do we keep the festival? Do we still sacrifice animals? Do you? I don't. You want to kill a goat? I don't know. I think most of us would be. Right? If you're a Muslim, you slaughter animals. They slaughter thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, right? They do. Islam has animal sacrifices. Judaism has animal sacrifices. The New Testament Christian faith, we don't have animal sacrifices. Amen? Your sheep are okay. Your goat is okay. Even your dog and cat's okay. Right? Because why? The New Testament says Jesus is the better sacrifice. His sacrifice, his blood, he's the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. He's the real Lamb, right? That does away with all those sheep, all those goats, all those cattle, all those animal sacrifices. He is the one sacrifice for all time. Amen? We don't worship in the Old Testament way. We worship in the New Testament way, okay? So, fourth commandment is different. However, we do in a sense, the other commandments are carried forward. Jesus talked about them, right? The third temptation, Satan came to Jesus and said, you know, Jesus, here's all the kingdoms of the world. Here's their glory. Here's their riches. Jesus, if you worship me, Satan, I'll give them all to you. Right? Third temptation. Jesus said, get away, Satan. It's written, you shall worship the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. We only worship God. Satan, we don't worship you. We don't worship other stuff. We worship the Lord our God and we serve him. Number two, it's not an exchange. It's not, if I worship you, I get something. No, we worship God because he ought to be worshiped. Amen? Amen. He should be worshiped. Okay, I wanted to go clearly. Okay, so we have, you know, in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, we have one God. One God and only one. His name is Yahweh. All right. He's the one true God. Right. Actually, in the Old Testament, they would recite. It's the Shema. If you were a Jew, you would say this twice a day, morning, evening. You say the Shema. It's Deuteronomy 6:4. It says this. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Yahweh is our God, Yahweh is one. Hear, O Israel, Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hear, O Israel, hear. That's the Hebrew tune, right? The Hebrews. Hear, O Israel, Lord our God, the Lord is one. If you're Jewish, you say that every day. You pray that. That is your creed. That's your declaration. Israel, we only have one God. One God. It's Yahweh, right? Israel, if you're Jewish, Israel is clear. We don't have other gods. We only have one God. We don't have many gods. Who is it? Yahweh, our God, is one. The only means the only one. Amen. All right. In the New Testament, Paul picks up this. Look at this. It's right. Hear, O Israel, the Lord. You have the word Lord, which all caps stands for Yahweh. Yahweh, our God. Yahweh is one. The Lord, our God. The Lord is one. Okay. Paul takes that. He carries forward to the New Testament. I think we have it. Okay. And it's talking, Paul talking, 1 Corinthians 8. He's talking about to a people who are surrounded by pagans, pagan festivals, feasts. He says, concerning, telling them, now you're Christian believers. Concerning the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence. There is no God but one. There's only one real God. Yet for us, there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and through whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Paul has taken that Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He has got God in there. He's also got Jesus in there. Right? He's got God there. He's got Lord there. He's got God the Father there. He's got Jesus there. Yet the Lord and God are one. You get it? So yet to us, there's one God, the Father. He's the creator. And one Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen? So to Paul, Paul is telling them, yes, we Christians, we still have one God. Who is it? The God, it's the Father and the Son. It's still one. Our one God, who's Yahweh, our God, is God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Lord. God, the Lord, one God, one and the one Lord together. Amen? So we still have it. Praise God. Isn't that interesting? Who is God? All right. Very simple. The Jews knew who their God was. And if you ask to do, who is your God? Number one, God is the one who rescued us from Egypt. Number two, God is the creator. Our God is the creator. He made everything, created the whole universe. And there's verses, I don't have time. God says in the Old Testament, I created everything, I made everything, I did it myself. What is God saying? I'm the creator. I didn't need helpers. I didn't have assistance, right? I did it all myself. I'm the unique creator. That qualifies God to be God. He's the creator of all things. Every other thing is created. Only God is the unique creator before everything and the source of everything. If you're the creator, you're God. If you're capital G. If you're not the creator, you are not God, capital G. You're a creature. You're created. Number three, God is the ruler of everything. God rules the whole universe. He's the unique ruler. And there's verse on that. You know, God's throne is above everything. Right? God is reigning high above the earth, high above the earth, high above the earth. God is reigning high above the earth. Together, high above the earth. You know, the prophets had visions. God showed them visions of the throne of God. They saw God on the throne, God above everything. Right? And everything else. Well, that qualifies God to be God. Yes, there are other thrones, but God's throne is above everything. Jesus told the 12 disciples, you will sit on 12 thrones judging 12 tribes of Israel. Yeah, you get a throne, but you're not ruling everything. God is on the throne. He will rule everything. God is God. Number one, God is the creator of everything. Everything else is created by him. Number two, God rules over everything. Angels, demons, created things in heaven, earth, under the earth. God rules over all. That makes him God. That's God's description. If you don't fit that description, you are not God. Capital G. Okay? People talk about, I'm God, he's God, she's God. Right? I think you have a picture, right? Where's that one? Kanye West. Kanye West, I am a God. Really? Really? I am a God. Sorry, you're not. God, capital G, God is the creator of everything. You are created. God rules everything, right? Over everything. You don't, right? You're not God. God is God, you're not. That's it. People write books. I think I had that book. I am God, so are you. Everybody's God. Sorry, you're not. No, let's be clear. God is God, capital G. Right? He's on the throne. God is doing an excellent job at being God. He's not going to retire. He's not going to quit. And his position and he's right, his position is not vacant. He's not asking for recruits. He's not asking for job applicants. God is God, and he's doing a fine job at it. Thank you. So God is God. We're not. We're not God, capital G. We're not becoming God. We're not semi-gods. We're not demigods. We are God's creatures. Yes, we can be saved. We become children of God. But God is God. Amen? Amen. God is still on the throne. God is on the throne. Right? No matter how great you think you are, how much money you make, how much power you make, you're not on the throne. Right? So you're not God. Let's be clear. Amen? Praise God. Because God is God, we should praise him. We should worship him. We should respect him, honor him. Let God be God. Amen. Then we'll keep the commandments. Appreciate him, honor him, confess him. All right. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Josh has a little presentation about the website, which has been revised, updated for us. He's going to run through. Thank you.